This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
CJ Hurd of Grind City Media is going to join us next segment. Always look forward to talking with CJ. We'll get his thoughts on everything happening with the Grizzlies during Media Day and more. But before we do that, let's get into the list. The College Football Super League. Yeah, Kevin, we've gotten some more details. This came to us yesterday evening from Justin Williams of The Athletic. A group of executives and administrators developing a college football super league formally announced its proposal Tuesday, outlining a single national league dubbed the College Student Football League, the CSFL. Roll off the tongue. That's what I'm looking for. The details, which have been formulating for months, feature a football-only reorganization of the 136 football subdivision schools into two distinct conferences. The top 72 programs, mostly the current Power 5, would compete in the Power 12 conference, made up of a dozen six-team geography-based divisions. The remaining 64 programs, mostly the current Group of 5, would compete in the Group of 8 conference. The top teams from the Group of 8 would be eligible for a promotion to play up against the Power 12 the following season, similar to the structure of European football leagues, but there would be no relegation among the Power 12 schools. The advisory group for the CSFL, known as College Sports Today, is a collection of industry leaders in business and sports, as well as university presidents and athletic directors. The Athletic first reported on the CST and its Super League ambitions in April. Despite Tuesday's announcement, including in-depth specifics on a format, governance, and revenue model for the CSFL, the league is still a long way away from being realistic and a viable proposition. It would require cooperation and coordination between the NCAA and its member institutions, almost all of which belong to conferences with their own distinct television contracts and grant of rights. The current college football playoff contract with ESPN runs through the 2031-32 season, with conference deals extended beyond that. CST also states that it would not interfere with or ask any current media contracts to be renegotiated. So, Kevin, the reason why, obviously, Tiger fans were drawn to this is that Memphis would be part of the Power 12 conferences of the 72 schools. They would be part of the South Division, which would include LSU, Arkansas, Houston, the Tigers, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss. Here is the biggest...
Love that division.
I mean, obviously, the problem is, to a certain degree, I would be for this, but this is kind of where you live in the reality that we have with college athletics. It's like, it's almost like when wrestling really bums you out. I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel this way when my friends start fantasy booking and throw out good ideas. It's like, I don't want to hear those ideas because they're not going to happen. And
right.
The biggest thing to me with this is not being proposed by the Big Ten or the SEC. And there are people that have pointed out, well, Jimmy Haslam, who's a big Tennessee booster, is involved in this. Also, Danny White, the Tennessee athletic director, has given it his support. I will say this in response. Those two things are related. Haslam has a reason to be involved in this, and Danny White's going to support Jimmy Haslam for financial reasons. Like, that's just the way this works. What is more interesting to me is that we learned yesterday, I believe Heather Denich of ESPN reported, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to meet next week in Nashville, and they're going to discuss a scheduling agreement. And really what they're doing is they're going to discuss, okay, what are we doing about the playoff? Because we're going to have to come up with a new format, whatnot. That is what I am more interested in, because on the one hand, you could make the argument, okay, they're protecting their own interests. The other, I would say, is these are the two people that are going to be the most heavily involved in making the decision about whatever the landscape looks like, and they're actually getting together. And this is the first sign of that.
Okay. True. All great points there. Can we fantasy book for a minute? Can we
go ahead?
Or can we try to figure out, is there anything positive at it? So if you're a Memphis fan, Memphis got bumped up. I saw Navy is in there, but I don't really see anybody else.
Yeah. I'm a little more than the schools. Like, why is Boise State in the group of 64?
Well, is it because of TV market? Is it I don't understand why Navy's up there and Boise's not. Is it geographical and they needed another East team, so Navy's on the East side and Boise's had too much competition with the West? I don't know. I mean, of course, Memphis, which we call the Mid-South, this area, we're not even in the Mid-South part of the division, which has Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky, Louisville, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt in it. Well, I guess
I want to make sure I'm doing this right, but like when I'm just eyeballing it, what it looks like to me is they took the biggest brands of the AAC and they moved them up, and the Mountain West is part of the group of 64, and they have it down. Because like
is that what okay.
So in yeah. the West you have the two West divisions are BYU, Oregon, Oregon State, Utah, Washington, Washington State. And then the other is Arizona, Arizona State, Cal, Stanford, UCLA, USC. So basically they've reorganized it, and they basically said, if you were a member of the Pac-12, you're going to remain in this. And if they took like the schools from the AAC that have already left, they kept in the power leagues, and they bumped up what would be the remaining members that you would think of.
And apparently they think Notre Dame's going to join this conference, huh? Notre Dame's finally going to join a conference. This is going to be the one. 72 schools. That's my question to you, Jeffrey, because I guess we always talk about the super conference. Is 72 the realistic number? If that's a realistic number, then it does look like Memphis is on the right side of it, but is that number too high?
That number, according to most that I trust, that number's too high. Now, the question will then become, okay, there's going to be an issue with if the Big Ten and the SEC decide to eventually do essentially the NFL-AFL merger, and you have the two divisions, whatnot, like, how is that legally, are they going to have legal arguments that are going to cost them to prevent from doing that, so they have to invite other people? 72 has always felt high to me, but if you tell me that they face legal issues and they're going to have to start including people, well, then all of a sudden, I've always kind of thought 60 was kind of the high end number, but maybe if they're worried about everything else, it's like, to me, it's like this format is not necessarily a bad deal. It's just, I don't take it seriously because of where it's coming from. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Right. They put the, so it, the regular season would be 13 games over 15 weeks. They've got like details on all the five division games, eight non-division games. The prior season's top 36 schools earn a seventh home game. So you like earn your extra home game. It's interesting.
But like the biggest problem with all this is like all of these things are good ideas, but this is the problem with the structure that we have. There is no central authority to sit there and go, you're playing this many games. We're going to organize this thing in a way that makes sense. In reality, what we have is every man for himself. And so if you're Boise and you're looking to move up, like who signs off on this? And then the whole idea of eventually what they would like to do, and this is something that I don't think is an insane idea because it's kind of what the NFL does. What they're hoping is when everybody's contracts run out, they can negotiate their TV deal as one entity because they would have more leverage if they have everyone bargaining as one. But then you run into the issue that we see in the NBA, what we see with James Dolan whining and complaining about, which is why do the Grizzlies get the same amount of money from the TV deal that I do? When, you know, why would Ohio State agree to get the same amount of revenue that Kent State would?
Right. Or Memphis, to be honest. But,
well, I was using the real extreme, like the one in like whatever, Ohio State or yeah, like Texas, Alabama. I mean, we just saw the Alabama Georgia game just did a 14.1 million. Also, I don't know if you saw this, Kev. We just got the numbers. If you thought nobody was watching the Titans Dolphins game, by NFL standards, absolutely no one was. It was in the 4 millions. Like it was, wow. Yeah. It was a depressingly low number. 5.61 million, which was like far and away one of the worst Monday night games we've seen.
Ratings for Nick Saban's former teams.
Correct. Basically three times the amount of people watched. Now, granted, the other problem was if you were watching that game, and let's say like you weren't a fan of the Dolphins and you weren't a fan of the Titans, like that game was a bummer of a watch. And then all of a sudden you flip over 45 minutes later, the Lions and Seahawks start, and like that game just had all the energy. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go watch that. Like, I can understand that. It is also funny to think that when we hear 5.6 million, we think like that's laughing, like that's a laughing number for the NFL. Like, that would still rank like in the top 10 of college broadcasts this year.
Right. That's a good point. The CSFL sounds like the Canadian Football League's USFL.
What else did you want a fantasy book?
Well, I really wanted to just figure out that 72 number because if you're a Memphis fan, you look at it, it's like, okay, Memphis is on the right side of it in this scenario, right? But you want to remain in that side too. So they just took the entire former Pac-12. But if something like this actually did happen, we are far away from it from happening, right? So, like, you want to remain connected where you do end up on this side. If it is, for whatever reason, there's a chance out there. There is a chance, right? Are you telling me there's a chance, Jeffrey, that whatever Super League might be as large as 72 teams to avoid legal
Definitely a chance if they have to avoid legal issues. Like but even this league admits like they're going to need a law passed for them to be able to do this.
Right. So we got Memphis. It would be tough for this is why I like Memphis's current situation. Because yes, this would also be a fun situation playing LSU, Arkansas, Houston, Mississippi State, Ole Miss every single year, right? But the current situation gives you a better chance to actually do something. Like that's a scary schedule to have to play every single
year. Well, I mean, I do think that is
Mississippi State at the bottom of the division.
That is something I think to consider. If you're Memphis and you're thinking about, okay, we could go spend some money to be in the best of the rest league, or we could dominate our current league, even though they've not done it yet, but the Memphis is in a position that it has not been in previously to win big in both sports. Is that a better path for you in terms of access to the playoff, in terms of, you know, if like it is set up this year for Tiger basketball. Like, I know everybody's not exactly like, this isn't the period of the most optimism around Tiger basketball with Penny Hardaway's program. But there is the scenario where if they go out and they exceed expectations in non-conference play, and then they run through, conference play, something they haven't really done under Penny, like that is getting back to like the John Calipari formula of CUSA. Like that is the path to a very high seed. And the problem is they haven't proven that they can do that. But like the path is there to do exactly what Gonzaga has done for the last 15 years, which is play in a bad league. Then you talk it up and tell everybody, Penny, I've noticed, has started doing this. Penny is doing the, it's a better league than it gets credit for. That was what Mark Few always did. And, you know, the path is there that for Memphis to put up gaudy numbers and have a good seed. But, you know, part of that is you got to exceed expectations of the non-conference play, and then you got to keep it rolling, which is, we haven't really seen both of those. It feels like the years that they played, performed well in conference play, it's like they kind of underperformed in non-con play. So it's like putting the whole season together.
Well, yeah, right. Right now, if you're a Memphis fan, that the positives, right, is definitely you are positioned in both football and basketball. If you have the right coaches in place, you are positioned to make postseason tournaments, best chance to do that, right? You have a great chance. Like, look at just if this super conference thing happened, right? The Memphis was in the South Division, even for basketball. If you had, LSU, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Houston on the schedule every year for basketball. Obviously, just got done playing Houston every year, and we know how challenging that is.
The Tigers have played those teams, and those are some of the bigger draws that we've seen. Are the games people want to go to.
Those are the games people want to go to. Of course, now, especially Arkansas, Coach John Calipari over there.
But, now, it is important to note this is football only, but like, what if...
Right.
What if this led to
it was basketball. Yeah.
Like, what if it led to a restructuring where everyone's like, you know, it makes more sense for us to play the people that are around us.
Yeah. And in football, if you're looking at football, it's what you could definitely beat Houston, Mississippi State every year. And you have Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss. It's interesting. This Power 12 conference, 72 schools. I like how it says in parentheses, formerly the Power Five. It's interesting. If you have not looked at it, I would recommend, I think every Memphis fan needs to definitely take a look. Any fan of college football, take a look at the Super League, the College Student Football League. Definitely needs a new name. But if Memphis fans give it 100% support, jump to that, pay the exit fee and get into the College Student Football League right
yes.
now.
Yes, everybody. It's again, we maybe should have probably come up with a better name. All right, the commish, Roger Goodell. So the commish was on Good Morning Football, the NFL Network morning show that has like half of their crew in New York, half their crew in LA. But he was talking today about the new kickoff rule. And he's already proposing a tweak of moving the kickoff to the 35-yard line, presumably so that kickers could have the kick land in the landing zone more, and changing the touchback rules. I think also he wanted to say, let's change the bringing the football out to the 35 for a touchback rather than the 30. And he thinks that this is groundbreaking changes. And this is the other thing. It's really kind of crystallized. Like, it's still weird to look at, but I don't think this thing has actually worked in the way that they wanted it to. Like, the idea was bringing the kickoff back and, you know, in a safer fashion, whatnot. Like, it's still to me. And then we had this reality. So the Dolphins on Monday Night Football, if anyone stayed with it, the Dolphins got a safety and they elected to do a free kick with their punter rather than onside kicking, because they still needed to try to get the ball back. I was unaware of this. I guess that's on me, hand up. But apparently the punter kicked it too far. And even though the Dolphins recovered it, he kicked it into a landing zone that apparently means the Titans got the ball at the Dolphins' 10-yard line. Like, So no one can even figure out the rules of that. You've taken the surprise onside kick out, and everyone keeps promoting, well, kickoff returns are up, kickoff returns are up. Like, yeah, but what we've also started to see is, like, week by week by week, the number of people that are returning kicks is down. So it's, you know, it wouldn't shock me if we went from 22% of kicks being returned last year to, by the end of the season, we're at, like, 27%, where it's not really, it's like, why did we just change all of this for really no reason? Like, it just feels like, yet again, like they're trying to act like they're doing something on something that didn't really need to be changed.
Right. And it did something that didn't. I hate it when the rules change and you don't even understand.
Correct.
What?
Well, like, everyone was confused. So to be clear, the Tennessee Titans special teams coach was like throwing his headset because he thought that the Dolphins had recovered because the guys were getting away from the football. It did turn out maybe his players knew more than he did because, like, they were getting away from, they didn't even make an attempt to recover it. But he's like going bananas because someone didn't call a fair catch and try to just get the football. We have a situation where even the special teams coaches don't really know what the rules are.
Right. That's not how you should operate the league. I think it should have been tested longer. But obviously, there's only a limited amount of time to test this thing out. Or maybe you adapt a rule that you've seen work somewhere else. And
well, the other problem is, so this was originally presented by Sam Schwartzstein, who played at Stanford. He, if you ever watch the stats broadcast of Amazon Prime's Thursday night games, he does the Thursday night like alternative broadcast, like the Statcast.
Right.
The problem
not
is
the Manning cast, but the Statcast.
Right. Yeah. He like worked on this for years and years and like tested it and whatnot. They took like the concept, but where the ball was supposed to be placed, where you're supposed to be kicking it from, that was all baked into his idea, and they haven't followed any of that. So they took away all the incentive and the risk reward aspect, and they just kind of watered it down and made it like something that's like, why did we need to do this? Like, overall, like, in the end, there is kind of an element of, like, who cares? But overall, I'm thumbs down on this. Like, I don't think this thing has actually made it more interesting. I think it just makes it look weird.
I got something to add to the list. Can I ask
you? All right, let's do it.
We're going to add AEW to the list, All Elite Ooh. Wrestling. All right, breaking news, Jeffrey. So we're talking about this TV deals. AEW has just agreed to a deal with Warner Brothers Discovery, which is, of course, Turner Sports' parent company, right?
Yes.
Over there. So AEW now is going to get paid $150 million per year, that professional wrestling, on the HBO Max, TBS, and TNT. So if that's any indication for you on what could be out there still for the Pac-12, a wrestling company, which is by far the number two company as far as ratings and brand awareness in this country, is going to get $150 million per year. You think the Pac-12 could get just as much? And if you did, and you only have nine teams and you're dividing $150 million by nine, that's a pretty sizable increase for a television deal. If at all, it's equal to pro wrestling on TV, which is one of your highest rated shows outside of football on cable television.
All right. I was trying to find Meltzer. What are AEW's numbers like right now?
Not great. I mean, they are, and you can keep going, but they've been pretty awful at points, especially the Collision show, which is included in this deal. So AEW, if you are an AEW fan, if you're a pro wrestling fan, it's great news because you can now be able to stream it on Max, which I think is also, you know, a big factor for a lot of these.
Yeah.
When it comes into the Pac-12. So you're going to be able to stream those, and their pay-per-views are now going to be somehow connected into that. But so you'll be able to at some point start watching the pay-per-views. The new deal starts in January, but just to give you a piece on what, like, so Turner Sports losing the NBA, and they did not want to lose wrestling, and they've got $150 million per deal with, which again is not at all, it is as close to the Pac-12 brand you can get when it comes to pro wrestling right now. Is what All Elite Wrestling is. So that's a pretty large number, in my opinion, going to a again, a brand that does not resonate.
No, a clear number two. Also, Aaliyah and I are watching the Mr. McMahon documentary, and last night we got to the Monday Night Wars. I actually would give it credit. I've always felt like one of my Netflix problems is when they promote something as a documentary, it's not really a documentary. It is the world according to someone else.
Right.
This is obviously the world according to Vince and people around wrestling, but this one feels a little bit more even than other things that I've seen from Netflix. But last night was the Monday Night Wars, and I get it. Like, that's for you and me. Like, that's the peak of our childhood, but damn it, that era was amazing. When Bischoff would start reading the results of Monday Night Raw because it was taped, like, that was just, man, that was good stuff.
Yeah, the Monday Night Wars, definitely, that era was amazing. But when you look at how great was, like, the Attitude Era, actually, you know, when you dissect individual parts, it's probably, you know, not as great as we remember. But the competition element that was going on then between WCW and WWF, there has never been anything like it. And honestly, in like sports, to see these two companies and whatever, you could compare them to leagues going at each other, like they went after each other. There was nothing, the personal attacks and the way you can do that in wrestling and write it into the show is amazing. But so think about real quick on this, we're looking at Pac-12, right? The Pac-12 is, we know they're going to fill in like programming slot. And that's one big thing AEW does for Turner is on TNT, like that Collision is just a Saturday night when nobody's watching anything and they don't have anything else. So they want to put that on, and because at least some 18 to 49 year old men are going to watch it, right? So when I do feel like there's a lot of similarities here between a deal going to like an All Elite Wrestling for $150 million per year and what the Pac-12 could be shooting for.
I am with you. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins the program next. We'll talk to him when we come back on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Program is brought to you by Birdies.
It's located at 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. It's Memphis's number one spot for virtual golf. Three golf simulators, as well as a putting course, great TV selection, full service bar, and a great menu. Makes for a great spot to watch all the games, even if you're not looking to work on the golf simulators there. But you can also play one of 600 courses worldwide while watching your favorite game with the sound. All you have to do is go to golfatbirdies.com to book your tee time. Also, check out their membership options. For $100 a month, you can get 10 hours on the simulators. A great deal there. Normally, standard hourly rate's about $45 per hour. So go and check that out as well, because you'll also get discounts on food and merch. You'll have your fees waived for league, tournament, and event play. Also, you'll get 20% off golf rates if you exceed your 10 hours or more. GolfAtBirdies.com. GolfAtBirdies.com. CJ Hurt is, of course, joining the program as he does each and every Wednesday. Grind City Media personality. Of course, you can see him each and every morning, weekday morning, I should say. The Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Twitter at ConRadicalness. CJ, I guess let's start here. When you hear, because I feel like you definitely took a different position, I think, than maybe the masses did on the Tigers with joining a new league. When you hear that talks could be reignited, might be reignited, if a certain TV deal goes a certain way, they get reignited, what's your perspective of this kind of will they, won't they that we currently find ourselves in?
I think that it is good, right? Because it means you hadn't shut yourself off for no damn reason. Listen, loyalty doesn't matter. Who you come to the party with no longer matters in college sports. It's all about you, the individual conference, and the individual institutions in that conference. What is best for you? USC and UCLA broke up the Pac-12 because it was no longer in their best interest to stay. Texas and Oklahoma did the same thing with the Big 12 because it was no longer in their interest to stay. Memphis is saying, hey, we'll leave today, but we're not going to leave for just anything. We're not going to leave just because you think we should or just because you want us to. If the money's not right, we're not going. So once you tell them no the first time, absolutely, you listen the second time, and you listen the third time, and you continue to listen until they make you, they being the Pac-12 in this situation, make you an offer you can't refuse. It wasn't a no-brainer. If it was a no-brainer, the Tigers would have absolutely left. The deal didn't line up for what the Tigers wanted. And now that the Pac-12 has gone out there and gotten Gonzaga from just a basketball only standpoint, they need one more football playing member to be able to be a conference again. And now maybe the Pac-12 can say, hey, look, we got Gonzaga. That's going to do something from a TV revenue standpoint on the basketball side of things. We've got this thing over here more shored up on the football side, and this is what we're expecting to get. And if that number lines up and adds up to what you want, if you're Memphis, you absolutely take the deal. That's how negotiations work. You can tell somebody no today and yes tomorrow. It's all about what happens in the meantime, in between time, as far as getting a good deal in.
I think the other thing that's somewhat interesting to me is what is the motivation? Like, what's the strike point for Memphis? Like, what is the amount of money that they would need to see? What's the amount of money that they would either need to see from a TV deal? What is the amount of money that the league would have to offer for exit fees, whatnot? Because the thing that I wonder about is, what if they don't make that Godfather offer that you're talking about? What if they make that type of offer that you're like, I mean, it's not a bad deal. It's not the Godfather deal. Like, how do you think you handle that? Because to me, that seems like the more likely outcome is you're not going to get made the offer you can't refuse, but you might have the opportunity to go and join a better league. Is it the league that you want to be in? No, but it's a better league. Like, that's to me where I think it starts to get interesting.
My take on this has always been, is it a good league, though? Sure, it's better. Is it good? And the counterpoint that I hear, I think Kevin's made this point, I know others have made this point also, might not be good, but it's certainly better, and you want to be in the better league because that's where they're pulling teams from. My thought on that, though, is you're Memphis, and right now you're the big kid on the block. It feels like Memphis, this athletic department, might be able to bend a couple of wills in a way that it's never been able to do before. So while, yes, this conference is better than where you are right now, my counterpoint to that and my question is, could you create something on par with that? Could you look around and say, okay, we're over here in the Eastern and Central time zones. Let's just take all the good teams or all the teams with some sort of market value from a national standpoint and a market penetration standpoint. Let's try and grab those and see if we can't do something similar to what they're doing out there. It's better. I'm not going to argue with you about whether or not the Pac-12 as it stands right now, and if you throw Memphis in there, it's better than the American, with Memphis also in the American. I won't argue that. My question is, could you create something better? So if by doing nothing else, getting rid of some of the leechers, some of the moochers in the American, can you go to the American and say, hey, you know what? I don't really see the point of having Charlotte in here. I'm just using them as an example.
Okay.
I think we should probably get rid of them, and that way we can get more of the pie for some of these schools and continue to do that until you get that weeded down to a point to where you are making comparable money to what that conference is, the Pac-12.
Poor Charlotte. Everybody's always talking about, we're always mentioning Charlotte as the example. But
hell, Kevin, because I don't know who else is over there.
there's nobody else to add though because North Memphis Texas has the alliance with Tulane.
North Texas, that's the other thing. FAU is also kind of flying under the radar because it's like, well, they did go to the tournament last year. They went to the Final Four, but it's like, anybody kept up on what's going to happen post Dusty May? And then anyone kept up what's happening with Tom Herman? It's like, there's some dead weight there too.
Yeah, like, but it's all about, to me, I'm thinking only about money. I don't care how good you are. I care about how much money and how much interest is there in your program. And the interest in the program will lend itself to more money coming in. So I'd be curious to know, and I'm not sure how to go about doing this. I'm sure smarter people than me at the university and all of the universities are trying to figure this out right now. Hey, what's your national reach? And then more importantly, what's your market penetration? You know, how, sure, you're in Charlotte. Sure, you're in Orlando, or you're in Memphis, or you're in the Carolinas somewhere, you're in Texas. But when your games are on, how many people in that market are actually watching your games? That's what I want to know, because it's not enough to just be in that market. You've also got to be able to draw eyeballs to your product. And if you're Memphis and you've got this newfound power, I would think that they'd say, hey, let's just find the ones with the best market penetration and let's us form a conference. Whether that be, hey, we got to go out there, and I'm, again, just throwing schools out there. Hey, we got to go out there and grab a UAB, MTSU, Western Kentucky, and just Arkansas State, and bring them on to where we want to be, and just do our own thing, or what? I'm not sure what the market penetration is and what the market value of those schools is, but I know that Memphis, and Tulane, to your point, because that's the alliance, I think the alliance for right now, and again, alliances can get broken all the time. This is a giant game of survival in college football mode. But I think that those two programs specifically look around and say, hey, let's just get the schools with the TV interest, redo our TV deals, and make as much money as we can.
But that doesn't solve the lack of it. The biggest problem, yes, the money is what's preventing the Tigers from jumping to the Pac-12 already. But like, it's the lack of fan interest is not going to be solved by a conference that you described.
I'm curious to know what the fan interest would be, and these are the names in that Pac-12. I'm curious to know how much fan interest there would be in Washington State, Oregon State. I know that it will be there for Boise State, but I'm curious to know how much longer that interest will be in Boise State. So much of the Boise State interest is that they're the David taking on all of the Goliaths, and we love to see David slay Goliath. But if you are David and all of a sudden you grow up a little bit, you hit a bit of a growth spurt, now you're one of the Goliaths. I wonder how much interest people would have in that product, that version of Boise State, where it's not Boise State punching up a weight class, but it's Boise State being in that same weight class. But even still, there's interest in Boise State. I don't imagine Memphians and Mid-Southerners are itching to see San Diego State, UNLV, come through. Sacramento State or even Washington State and Oregon State, right? Like, there's no interest. I can't imagine. I'm not going to say there's no interest. I have a hard time envisioning interest in seeing those schools way over there who you have no history with, you have no commonality with that region at all, there being a ton of interest in those programs.
All right, I wanted to wrap up with you here. We get the good news. Jaren's hamstring is a low-grade sprain, so crisis averted. At what point do we start wondering, like, is this team just, like, snake bit with injuries? And like, I know today, like, crisis avoided, but, like, you're still not going to be without you're still going to be without G.G. Jackson. You're still going to be without Vince Williams. You're bringing back guys that have had injury histories. Like, Marcus Smart got hurt last year. Dez even got hurt again. Luke missed games. Ja obviously missed the season. Like, at what point do we start to worry about the injury scenario?
Now? I don't know.
Yeah. Like, why? Yesterday? Yeah.
Yesterday. I think that the more logical answer to that is Jaren's not going to miss any time, and as long as projected not to miss too much time or any time in the regular season because of this, as long as it doesn't linger and they give him the ample amount of rest that he needs, all should be well. And as long as Jaren, John, Dez are healthy, the goals for this team sort of stays intact. It sucks not having Vince. It sucks not having GG. Absolutely. But those players' production can be made up because the other three players, Ja, Jaren, and Dez, are so good at what they do. Plus, the Grizzlies have a lot of depth at that wing position right now. Now, if it continues into the season, if we're dealing with three or four players out a month, month and a half, six, seven, 8 weeks, then I think you can absolutely start to be like, damn, are the Grizzlies as a franchise cursed all of a sudden? What's going on with these injuries? But for now, logically, I don't think you should be too worked up about it. Now, I know a bunch of fans. I don't know none of them. That's too logical. So I say, work yourself up right now into a frenzy. Go crazy. Lose your mind about it. I don't know what to do. You burn some sage. Eat some four-leaf clovers. Isn't that supposed to be lucky? I don't know. Wherever your lucky rabbit foot is, Grizzlies fan, grab it right now and start rubbing on it. Sleep with it. Like, hold on to it for the entirety of the season just to give this team a bit of a different break as it pertains to the injury bug.
All right, lastly, we'll wrap up here, keeping with the Grizzlies. What should the expectation be of the new offense? Like, is there really going to be a schematic difference? Do you think, like, when we're watching games, are we going to be able to notice that something's clearly different about this offense?
I think if you're a casual fan, probably not. Because, right, like, how many, like, just, hey, I like NBA basketball, I like it because it's on the TV,
yeah.
People sit down and like, oh, I know that play right there. That's the horn set.
Yeah.
That's a flex derivative right there. That's the Princeton backcourt, backdoor offense, right? Not many. I just named a whole bunch of college offenses, right? Not
For
even
sure.
What they're doing in
we forgot all the elevator. We forgot the elevator play, but yeah,
elevator,
other than that,
that's a sloppy set right there. That's a floppy cut, right? Or floppy, excuse me. That's a floppy cut. Nobody really watches basketball. The casual fans don't watch basketball in that way. Now, if you know what you're doing, if you know what you're watching, you know what you're looking for, I expect you to immediately be able to say, oh, there's no two-man game for the Grizzlies. There's no pick and roll with the ball, with Ja being the primary ball handler and facilitator, with a bunch of dudes just standing around waiting on Ja to make a play. There is a lot of movement. There is a lot of cutting. Now, if those cuts start to lead to which I think is why they put this in there. If those plays and those actions and those cuts start to lead to big time dunks and things of that nature, I think we'll all see that. But unless stuff like that is happening, which it very well may, I think casual fans would just be like, my Grizzlies, they're a better offensive team, and I love it.
CJ, we appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
I appreciate y'all.
That is CJ Hurd, of course, of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Tell Your Story, I don't know if you happened to catch Tyreek Hill at the end of the game on the sideline when he appeared to be frustrated by the team's play in the third consecutive loss, but he was asked today about his reaction on the sideline. It wasn't frustration. That was just me motivating my teammates. Totally wasn't him freaking out, taking himself out of the game and on multiple different plays.
just trying to motivate his teammates. I like that one. That's a good tell your story.
Yes, absolutely. I feel motivated.
I would say I'm not sure his other teammates felt motivated. I want to thank Kevin for joining us as well as CJ. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.